Please turn to Mark 7, verses 24 through 30. From there he arose and went to the region of Tyre and Sidon. And he entered a house and wanted no one to know it, but he could not be hidden. For a woman whose young daughter had an unclean spirit heard about him, and she came and fell at his feet. The woman was a Greek, a Syro-Phoenician by birth, and she kept asking him to cast the demon out of her daughter. But Jesus said to her, "Let the children be filled first, for it is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs." And she answered and said to him, "Yes, Lord, yet even the little dogs under the table eat from the children's crumbs." Then he said to her, "For this saying, go your way. The demon has gone out of your daughter." And when she had come to her house, she found the demon gone out and her daughter lying on the bed. Jesus is approached by a mother who is in desperate situation. She needs something in her life. She comes to the Lord, and as she does, she cries out for mercy. Mercy for her demon-possessed daughter. She's not asking for the whole meal. She's not asking for all the blessings. She's just asking Jesus Christ for the crumbs. She's asking Christ to move in her situation. Mark 7, 25 and 26. Look at that with me. For a woman whose young daughter had an unclean spirit heard about him, and she came and fell at his feet. The woman was a Greek, Syrophoenician by birth, and she kept asking him to cast a demon out of her daughter. This woman came to Christ because she was concerned about her daughter, that her daughter was demon-possessed, had an unclean spirit. She needed help in a desperate way. Look at the parallel passage in Matthew 15. We'll be bouncing back and forth between Matthew 15 and Mark 7. Mark 15 is the parallel passage. Look at verse 22 of chapter 15 of Matthew. "And behold, the woman of Canaan came from that region and cried out to him, saying, 'Lord, have mercy on me, O Lord, son of David. My daughter is severely demon-possessed.'" She cries out. She shouted. That word means loud, persistent shrieking. She's crying out to the Lord. How many times in our lives are we crying out to the Lord in this situation? This woman is heartbroken and she is determined to get her daughter the help that she needs. Look what it says in Matthew 15, 25. It says this, "Then she came and worshiped him." She worshiped Jesus Christ. As I said, we're going to bounce back and forth. Go back to Mark 7, 25. Keep your finger over there because we're going to keep going back and forth. Mark 7, 25. "For a woman whose young daughter had an unclean spirit heard about him, she came to him and fell at his feet." You don't worship, you don't fall at somebody's feet unless they are deity. She falls at his feet. She worships him. She needs something. Society couldn't help her. Her dead religion couldn't help her. Her self-effort couldn't help her. How many of us? Society can't help you. Your dead religion can't help you. Your self-effort can't help you. She comes to Christ because she saw Christ as her only hope. Brothers and sisters, Jesus Christ is our only hope. If you've never come to Christ today, Jesus Christ is your only hope. Society is not going to do it. Your dead religion isn't going to do it. Your self-effort isn't going to do it. Only Christ. He is the only hope. She falls at his feet and worships him. regardless of what you face today. Christ is your only hope. He can meet your need. The name of the message is, what do you need? He can meet your need. He can save your soul. He can forgive your sins. He can touch your loved ones. What is it that you need? Take it to Jesus Christ. What is it that you need? You have no problem, no circumstance that is too big for Jesus Christ. We read about Christ raising the dead, healing the leper, opening the eyes of the blind. Look at this woman here, Mark 7, 23 and 27. We're going to see the obstacles that this woman faced. Mark 7, well, just at verse 26. We don't have to read those all again. Mark 7, 26. The woman was a Greek, a Syrophoenician by birth, and kept asking him to cast the demon out of her daughter. This woman, the obstacles she had to face was critical. Look at Deuteronomy 7, verses 1 and 2. You have to understand the Jewish culture of 2,000 years ago. Deuteronomy 7, verses 1 and 2. When the Lord your God brings you into the land which you go to possess and has cast out many nations before you, the Hittites and the Gergesites and the Amorites and the Canaanites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites, seven nations greater and mightier than you. Verse 2. And when the Lord your God delivers them over to you, you shall conquer them and utterly destroy them. You shall make no covenant with them or show mercy to them. This woman is a descendant of the Canaanites. She was a cursed woman. She's suffering rejection. A Gentile's crying out to the Jewish Messiah. Turn back to Matthew 15. You have to realize what's going on here. This woman is crying out to the Jewish Messiah. She's a Gentile from a cursed people. Matthew 15, 22 to 24. And behold, the woman of Canaan, I just read to you about the Canaanites, came from that region and cried out to him, saying, Lord, have mercy on me, O Lord, son of David, my daughter is severely demon-possessed. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and urged him, saying, send her out. Send her out. They wasn't too much into evangelism of a Canaanite woman. Send her away, for she cries out after us. But he answered and said, notice, I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Christ, when he came, he didn't come to the Gentiles. And I'm sure just about everybody here is a Gentile, unless you're a Jew. You're a Gentile. Christ is saying, I didn't come to the Gentiles. I came to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. I didn't come to bless the Canaanites and the Perizzites and the Jebusites and the Irish and the Germans and the Italians and the Hungarians. I came to the lost sheep of the children of Israel. She had suffered rejection. The reality of this situation is harsh. She's the member of a doomed people. And I just read to you, the disciples certainly didn't care. Send her away. If you've experienced the rejection of religious people, it's good news. Look at John 6. 37. And we're going to see that the Gentiles now have a hope too. John 6, 37. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me, I will by no means cast out. Doesn't matter if you're a Canaanite, a Jebusite, a Gergesite, if you're from New York, California, Ireland, England, Africa, China, Korea, wherever you're from. Christ has now come to the world, as we'll see later in our text. But at that time, at his coming, he only came to the lost sheep of Israel. God had made a covenant with the nation of Israel. He didn't make a covenant. Matter of fact, since I'm saying it, turn to Ephesians 2. Rather than later, let's look at it now. Why Christ is saying, I only came to the lost sheep of Israel. Because we, Gentiles, look at Ephesians 2, beginning at verse 11. Therefore, remember, all of us Gentiles here, remember this. Because we have a tendency to forget this, because Christ has turned the Lord has turned his favor upon the Gentile people for almost 2,000 years, and we forget this. Therefore, remember that you, once Gentiles in the flesh, who were called uncircumcision, that's all the Gentiles, by what is called the circumcision, that's the Jews, made in the flesh by hands, that at that time, you were what? Without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers, notice, from the covenants of promise. God didn't make a promise to the Gentiles, but we'll see later, he had made a promise to Abraham. But you were strangers from the covenants of promise. Notice how horrific this is, having no hope. And with God in the world, before Christ came, the Gentiles, you were without hope, without God in the world. But now, here's the gospel. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. That's what's going on in our text. Christ came to the house of Israel. The Gentiles, we were basically damned. You were excluded from the promises. There was no covenant with you. The covenant had gone to Israel. God showed favor to Israel and the Gentiles who had no hope and without God in the world. Until Christ. And I know probably some of you are listening going, wow, that's not fair. The Gentiles didn't have a shot at salvation. Well, did you ever say it's not fair that the angels didn't have a shot at salvation? Because there's no plan of salvation for angels. They got cast out of heaven. They're doomed. There's no plan of salvation. Somehow people are under the delusion that God owes humanity something. And he owes them something. He owes them justice. See, we take this salvation so lightly sometimes. And we think we're the Gentiles now, we got it all figured out. It was only because of God's mercy. You'd have still been, I'm from an Irish descent, we'd still be over there burning to the gods, burning stones, burning wood, dancing around stones, painting ourselves blue. We didn't know the true God. We worshiped demons. And so did the Canaanites. That's what's going on in the text. Christ is surrounded by all Jews, and here's this Canaanite idolater worshiping foreign gods. And they're like, whoa. We don't have nothing to do with them. I read to you in Deuteronomy, they were supposed to wipe them all out. Make no covenants with them. But the obstacles were there that Christ would grow her faith. Notice, and I know many of you have probably heard this text before. Turn to Mark 7, verse 27. So here's the Canaanite woman asking. Christ says to her, let the children be filled first. Mark 7, 27. But Jesus said to her, let the children be filled first. For it is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs. I'm like, wow, here's all the love. Lord Jesus is about love. What's this about little dogs here? What's going on here? I got to tell you, growing up, I just always thought the little dogs were mangy, dirty, filthy little dogs. But in reality, what's it say? The little dog, the little puppy dog, I always had in my mind some amazing, dirty, filthy dog about 200 pounds later. But it says, first. A lot of people would have given up, but this woman didn't. Jesus ignored her. The disciples wanted to send her away, but yet she persisted. Many times the Lord is trying to mature your faith. You got to press in, no matter what the situation looks like. We were studying Abraham this morning. We saw he was supposed to go to Canaan from Ur of the Chaldees. He made a little trip 500 miles north up to Haran first. Faith requires persistence. So the Lord's ignoring her. The disciples tell her, get out of here. And yet she persists. Why? Because too much is at stake. Too much is at stake. Her little daughter needs to be delivered. She has a demon. Her family needs to be saved. She needs help. And she's determined to get it. A crumb might have been all she could get. But she knew that a crumb from the hand of Christ was more than enough. Do you not know that? And he hasn't promised you a crumb. He's promised he's the bread of life. This woman is begging Christ, worshiping Christ, falling at his feet saying, just give me a crumb. And we have the bread of life himself that says you never hunger nor thirst. And what do we do with that? What do we do with the bread of life? Do we feed on it? The question is, how much does your problem mean to you? Have you encountered some obstacles along the way? Have you looked at the hypocrisy and the apathy of church people and concluded that since God's people don't care, you're not going to care either? The disciples in the text are like, send her away. How many have come into churches and felt that from the people of God? Go away. You're not one of us. Go away. You're not like us. You don't believe like us. Go away. Get away. But this woman persists. Too much is at stake. She keeps bringing the need to Christ until he answers. What do you think knock means? Ask, you shall receive. Seek, and you shall find. Knock. Till the door opens. I hope that didn't hurt your ears on the internet. I don't know how that pounding on wood works over the internet. Get a knock. Keep knocking. Keep asking. Keep seeking. In his time, he'll give you a morsel from the table. And he'll give you more. He'll give you more than you ever imagined. Look at Matthew 7. He'll give you more than a morsel. Matthew 7:7-11. Ask, it'll be given to you. Seek, you'll find. Knock, it'll be open to you. For everyone who asks, receives, and he who seeks, finds. To him who knocks, it'll be open. Or what man is there among you? If his son asks for bread, all you people that are here with your children, or what man is there among you who, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? What do you think the Heavenly Father is like? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? We don't have to get the crumbs from the tables, brothers and sisters. For Christ now has come to the Gentile world. He's not only come to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, he's also come to the Gentiles. Mark 7:29-30. Look what Christ says about her. See, she persisted. She didn't say, okay, Lord, I've been praying for 30 seconds. I'm done. I got to tell you, some prayers I see answered 30 years later. You never to stop praying. Look what Christ says. Mark. I'm getting mixed up with Mark and Matthew. Mark 7:29-30. Then he said to her, for this saying, go your way, the demon has gone out of your daughter. And when she had come to the house, she found the demon gone out and her daughter lying on the bed. And in the parallel passage, look what it says in Matthew 15, 28. May it be said of you and I, here was the Gentile woman. And look what Christ says in 15, 28. Then Jesus answered and said, O woman, great is your faith. Let it be to you as you desire. And her daughter was healed from that very hour. Oh, woman, great is your faith. Great is your faith. Here's the Canaanite woman from the cursed people. And the disciples were like, send her away. And Christ is like, this woman got more faith than you all do. Christ tested her faith with hard words. With hard words. Would you want to be like, oh, Lord, I'm at the, can you give me a crumb off the table here, this little puppy dog here? Or a little mangy dog, whatever way you would see yourself? And the Lord has blessed us. Christ tests our faith. I know many of you have looked at your situation and your circumstances, and things remain the same. And Satan and your flesh is telling you it's no use. God doesn't care. Go away. Don't bother him with this anymore. He's saying that Satan will say to you in your flesh, just like the disciples, send her away. Who do you think you are? You think God's going to answer your prayers? And he's promised you, yes, he would answer your prayers. If you come to him with simple faith, he'll answer your prayers. Take heart today. There's hope. Today might be the day that Christ responds to your cries. You're to cry out. He may move that mountain. Today may be the day that it all changes. In a moment. How many of our lives in one moment? For good or for bad. In a moment. That thing you're praying about, how you know you don't go home today and it's all changed. The phone call comes. You run into something. Something happens. Some little insignificant thing that you think and yet God was using it the whole time. I know in my life, the Lord blessed me to this day with a simple piece of paper given to one man that made a phone call. In 30-something years, my life has been changed dramatically. In a moment, in an instant. Today, take heart, for there is hope. Peace of Jesus Christ may replace your pain today. That's the gospel. What is it that you need from Christ? Salvation? Forgiveness of sins? You're to bring that need to Christ today. But you're to bring it to him with faith. Because without faith, it's impossible to please God. Whatever's not a faith is sin. Look at Jairus' daughter being raised from the dead. Look at Lazarus being raised from the dead. Look at the demoniac with a whole troop of demons. Look at what Christ has done. Look at the disciples in the storm. The multitudes being fed. The leper, the blind man, the deaf man, and every other kind of man and woman that came to him. This is the God that we serve, brothers and sisters. This is the God that we believe in. The crippled looked to Christ. The one that was hanging on the cross that day, the last day of his life. He cries out to Christ. Remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Christ tells him, today you will be with me in paradise. There's the criminal, last day. Here's Christ next to him. How about Christ is placed in a tomb? 3 days, nothing. Hope is gone. What the disciples on the road to Emmaus say? Oh, we had thought. We had thought that he was the promised Messiah. And they found out he was. And every child of God has found out that Jesus Christ is the promised Messiah. Amen. And he's the promised Messiah now to the world. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe would not perish but have eternal life. no matter what your heritage is, no matter where you're from in this world, no matter what you've done, no matter how wicked you've been, no matter how self-righteous that you've been, no matter what you've done, there is hope for you. But I live in that little crumb says, I'm the bread of life. To come to me, all ye that are hungry, all you that are thirsty, come to me. If Christ can do these things, brothers and sisters, that's just a small sample of what he can do. He raised the dead. He created the world. He created the universe. He's sovereign over all things. What do you need from him? Regardless of what you need, come to Christ. We'll close with Colossians 1 to show you this one that we cry out to, the one that we bring our petitions before. Colossians 1, beginning at verse 13. We'll end in this section. Colossians 1, verse 13. He has delivered us. Notice past tense. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of the Son of his love. You talk about supernatural, miraculous. You're dead. You're in the power of darkness. You become saved. He transfers you into the kingdom of the Son of his love. Notice, in whom we have redemption. Not you're going to get redemption. If you're a child of God, you have been delivered from the power of darkness, and you have redemption. Redemption how? By your good works? No, through his blood. The forgiveness of sins. You want a condensed form of the gospel? There you go. He's delivered you from the power of darkness, transferred you into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood. The atonement's been made, propitiation's been made, the wrath of God has been satisfied, the forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him, for by Christ, all things were created that are in heaven and that are on the earth, visible and invisible. Whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things. And in him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have the preeminence. The gospel is about Christ. He is the preeminent one. He is the one that people pray to, that they worship, that they confess, that they trust in, that they have faith in. And you can be just as that Canaanite woman. You can come to him and ask to be blessed. You can come to him and ask for salvation. You can come to him and ask him to sanctify you. You can come to him and ask him to deliver you from the power of sin in your life. Not only has he paid the penalty for your sin, he's broken the power of sin in your life. If you simply come to him by faith and believe what he said. For this is the God who we said, Jesus Christ. For by him all things were created. And Father, I would ask today that if there's any in our midst or listening via the internet that have never been created anew, that have never been born again, that they would come today, even as the thief on the cross that day cried out to Christ, just like the Canaanite woman cried out to Christ. If there's any today listening that have never cried out to Christ, I pray that today they would cry out to Jesus Christ, for he has promised, all that will come to me, I will in no wise cast out anybody. No Jebusites, no Canaanites, no Amorites, no whateverites. And Father, we pray that you would do a mighty work in our midst. Those of us, Father, who doubt you, that we look at the situation, that we say, oh, but we only have 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. Is that not more than enough for the one that has created all things? Have we not been invited into the throne room of grace and mercy and to bring our petitions before him? What a privilege and what an honor. But Father, far too often we live like paupers. And I'm not talking about in the material sense. I'm talking in the spiritual sense. We've been blessed with every blessing. We're seated in heavenly places. Father, I would pray, even as the disciples did, increase our faith. Increase our faith. For those that have never come, that they would come, and those of us who do know you, that you would increase our faith. For as we saw this morning in the life of Abraham, that partial obedience is disobedience, that we, by faith, would walk with Jesus Christ. Father, we ask a blessing upon all that has taken place here today. In the precious name of Jesus Christ, amen.